Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's the key to a quick and fun travel escape? Enjoy public art outside, or outsider art inside, and refresh your sense of history with awe-inspiring parks and museums. Vicksburg is the key to the South.
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm. or wherever it is you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Stalo.
That would be a little weird. Mm-hmm. I know exactly where that is.
I figured that was one you would know.
It's in between Louisville and Philadelphia, isn't it?
It's between, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, 15? Yes, it is. Yes.
On Highway 15?
Yes. Yeah. The first city between, is Noxipater.
I can't tell you how many times I've gone through Stalo.
Well, there you go. You've passed the Mount Airy Cemetery.
Yes.
A lot of cemeteries. There's four cemeteries within.
There's a lot of cemeteries on that road.
Five miles of each other here. Like, what's up with that?
And there's a lot of cemeteries. A lot of little churches.
Kind of like Jerry Seinfeld ever said, what's up with all the cemeteries in Neshoba County?
That's right. Yeah, that's.
Well, one of them is in a.
Used to be a store out there.
Yes, that's Winston, yeah. Oh, there you go. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. And when you order from strangebrewcoffeehouse.com, you get to enjoy that great coffee every morning, and you get to support the Bulldog Initiative. The same way you do when you talk to our good friends at Pip Printing and Signs. Reliable service for every business need. Long story short, they're going to make it easy for customers to find your business, to know your business, and to do business with you. And that's what you want when you're from your printing budget, right? When you spend that money, you want to double it back in customer feedback and customers coming back to your business. Pip Printing and Signs has solutions that can make that a reality. And the best part of all, if you're a Mississippi State fan, this is tough to pass up, guys. You're already spending money on printing for your business. By spending money with Pip Printing and Signs, 10% of your sale goes right to the Bulldog Initiative in your business's name. You can't pass that up. The number is 601-499-5216. Ask to speak to Camden. Tell him you heard about this on Thunder and Lightning, and he'll get you taken care of. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. They're running a great sale over at College Corner. If you haven't seen it, I've tweeted it out a few times. They have a ton of great stuff on sale, including some state script, interlocking, M over S stuff. Check it out. Of course, there is some Banner M stuff there. That's to be expected. But hey, I think Robbie and I will both agree that if you can get a really cool, you know, a good polo, a good quality brand name polo for $25, take it. That's fine.
That's true.
Let me know. You know, just when I see you and I come and be like, oh my God, what? And you just go, no, Brian, got it at College Corner for $25. I can't argue with you.
It's a steal.
It's a steal. Check them out. CollegeCornerStore.com is the website. Two locations in the Jackson area. Originally by Fleet Feet. Flowood by The Half Shell. This is a great picture of you with this cake.
I really wish I would have ate that cake now.
That was a big piece of cake, though. You might be down for the count if you had eaten that cake.
I took one bite of it, and I was like, I've eaten so much.
Shout out to our friend Abby Hunt. It was her birthday, and she gave us some cake.
I let somebody else have the rest of it. Yeah. I'm sorry, Abby, if you're listening. But I was so full at that point, I was just like, I can't eat it.
I got you.
And I took one bite of it, and I was like, what am I doing? Why am I not eating this? And now I wish I had it.
Oh, well. Restaurant Tyler. So I drove past Restaurant Tyler today around brunch time, I guess you should say. And some people took our advice, Robbie. We told them, like, it's worth it to stand in line. They were doing exactly that at Restaurant Tyler. Hope you guys had a great experience there. I know that you did. And they want you to come back. You know, if you're going to be in Starkville anytime, Restaurant Tyler, they want to see you there and grab a great meal for lunch, for dinner, or for Sunday brunch. Whatever time it is, the best time to eat is at Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Let PriorityOneBank.com be the guide for you. Go on their website. Check out not only the map, and you can see what branches look closest to you, but you can check out all of the financial services they offer. You're going to be pleasantly surprised. You're thinking, okay, Priority One Bank, Central Mississippi is probably a small-time bank. They don't offer a lot for my money. You're going to be wrong in that assessment. So check them out and find out how they can help you achieve the financial goals you are looking to do. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Hey there, Robbie.
Well, hey there, John. No, you're not John, you're Brian.
Wow.
That's just what I always do. I always say, hey there, John.
Wow. I mean, it's one thing when I say Bob. Well, John has never been sitting in this
chair. I'm so used to saying, hey there, John.
Well, I guess
people people aren't in on that inside joke. That's okay. That's okay. We'll just keep it between us.
Mississippi State, not one, not two. They got all three this weekend. We said last week they needed to sweep. They did sweep. It wasn't without drama. It wasn't without a little pain and suffering on the end. But in the end, all three wins go to the Bulldogs. They now sit at 10-8 in the conference, Robbie, way ahead of where we thought they would be. They only won 9 conference games a season ago.
I thought that they could win one. They could possibly be 1-11 after three weekends.
We did think that.
And
4 weekends.
I'm not ashamed. Yeah, 4. Yeah. I'm not ashamed to admit that. Yeah. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I maybe not 1-11 after three.
We thought they would be 1-8 after 1-8 after three weekends. Yeah.
I'm not ashamed to admit that. So they have more than exceeded our expectations at this point.
And yet, at the same time, they've been somehow a little disappointing at times. It's a really weird. This is a really weird season. Yep. And, you know, you're looking at a Mississippi State team that still remains on pace to win maybe 17 games in the conference, maybe 16 games in the conference.
You're going all out
here. Well, I mean, I'm just saying if they win their home series and only
get 4, and then
they don't get swept on the road, that's 16. And if they could somehow find a way to maybe sweep Missouri or steal one on the road to me at Vanderbilt, then that you got 17 wins. And yet, at the same time, they're not even in the hosting discussion.
Yeah.
Normally, 17 wins would have you deep into the hosting discussion. This team is not. RPI currently sits at 45, one behind Auburn. Auburn is at 44. Auburn in quad one games. Quad one is 1 through 50, right? Quad one, okay, no, I'm sorry, it just depends. Depends on where you play them. Auburn has played 19 quad one games. They are 2-17.
Ugh.
Their strength of schedule is 2. Just to give you an example, Mississippi State has only played 12 quad one games. The team above Auburn, Louisiana, has played 6 quad one games. Auburn has played 19 of them, and they've lost 17 of them. So that sort of tells you something. State's schedule is kind of the opposite. They have 4 quad four losses, which is more than any quad any power four team, power five team, whatever you want to call the conferences, still ahead of them. Nobody else has more than 2 outside in the power conferences that's ranked ahead of Mississippi State in the RPI. State's RPI moved up 4 spots this weekend. They're now 26-14. As you mentioned, they're 10-8 in conference play. Friday night's game kind of went like Friday night games have kind of gone for Mississippi State. You know, pitching early, Kyle Steven, dominant. I would make the case right now that Kyle Steven is the second best Friday night starter in the league.
I'm going to easily make that case.
Hagan Smith is the undisputed number one. There's no question there.
And honestly, I mean, let's be real. I mean, he's been right there with Hagan Smith the last few weeks as far as just the sheer, you know, not giving, like, the runs given up or whatever. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been quite as dominant as Hagan Smith, maybe, like, from a stuff standpoint, but results, right there with him.
They got
7 innings
the
other night, gave up 1 unearned run.
Mm-hmm.
He's given up 2 or less runs now in the last 5 weeks, and he's pitched 6 or more innings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what he has done has been remarkable. This is a guy that he got shelled a few times at Purdue, and, you know, I thought that he pitched well in some games against Purdue as well, but he got shelled in a couple of games this year. And there were times where we said, you know, if the wind's blowing in, he could be really effective. Like, he's going to pitch to contact. They're going to hit it. It's kind of like a Christian McLeod thing.
Yeah.
But now he's just a great pitcher.
Yeah.
He's just making some great pitches, and he's just beating people with the fastball and the slider. He was outstanding again on Friday night. And, you know, I think there's some really good hitters in this lineup. State's played some good lineups here in SEC play. Even, you know, LSU had some really good players in it. I thought there's some good players in there. Cooper McMurray's a really good hitter. I think Connor Weiss is a good hitter. I think Ike Irish is a good hitter. So I thought that they did a really good job pitching this lineup this weekend again. This is another really well-pitched weekend for the most part.
Yeah. State, and then, you know, the Friday night thing where they just get that late inning that puts the game away. You know, it's tight, and then all of a sudden State gets some runs. And that was the seventh inning for State where Hijack, who may have been the MVP of the week. Connor Hijack, kind of a sneaky SEC Player of the Week candidate this week.
What did he do on Friday? I can't remember what all he did.
Friday, he was 2-for-5 with 2 RBI, a double.
So he had 2 hits in every game this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been State's best hitter
including
in SEC play.
A game he had he scored, he got the rally started in the seventh inning on Sunday and then had the game-winning hit. So that's a sneaky – the guy from Tennessee will win it who had 3 home runs today, Christian Long. Oh, I can't remember his name. I'm not that concerned with it. But you see where I'm going.
He's been State's best hitter in SEC play.
Mm-hmm.
Just from a consistency standpoint, he's constantly giving you good at bats. Even the outs are loud.
Mm-hmm.
He was good all weekend long, mm-hmm. and he's been good for you since SEC play started.
Yeah. Obviously, Saturday rained out. Nothing going on there, and then you have the game on the doubleheader on Sunday. Two 7-inning games. State 11 hits, only 3 runs. They stranded 11 guys in that game. Really thought that might have been sort of like the game set last Saturday, where State had a lot of opportunities to put Ole Miss away and never did. But again, State got great pitching this time from Gerangelo Sungjae. 6 2/3 innings. He did walk 3, but only gave up 3 hits, 1 run. And then 2 innings of scoreless, or not even 2 innings, 2 at-bats of scoreless relief from Cam Schulke and Tyson Harden, who gets the save. Just a really good pitching performance there in Game 2, and to overcome your hitters who just didn't do a whole lot for you in Game 2.
Yeah, and 5 hits surrendered in 2 games. I think that's right.
Yeah,
that's. I don't care what SEC team you're playing. What the State did on the mound this weekend was exceptional. You gave up 5 runs the entire weekend in 3 games. That's a very difficult thing to do in this day and age. But Game 2 was just, you know, I don't want to be negative about this weekend because at the end of the day, you swept the series.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you have not been able to do. You've had chances now. And I know State got run ruled against Ole Miss, but I still think if they would have won that Saturday game, they're sweeping Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
You've had chances now against Florida, LSU, Ole Miss. Those series, Georgia, 4 series, you could have very easily swept those series.
Mm-hmm.
This team could be the number one team in the country right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a difference in that.
People keep saying Landon Sims. You don't have to have Landon Sims to have a reliable closer. If you had a reliable closer, you would have – I mean, State is 26-14. I can make a case that they could be – 31-7, or I guess that's probably not right, 33-7 without batting my eyes very hard.
Yep.
I mean, that's how close this team is to being really, really good.
And that's why, you know, the people get angry whenever we make points that are negative.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not looking at this from a standpoint of just being happy with this team being 10-8 right now.
Right. They should be
better. Looking at it as this team should hold itself at a much higher standard than this.
There's no question. Well,
I don't understand why people get so upset about that. Ask yourself this. When you're watching the game on Sunday, and we'll start with Game 2, and State's constantly leaving runners on base, and they're not extending the lead, and they're really struggling to put away Auburn, were you happy with that? Were you happy with the play that happened with Aaron Downs at second base? Were you jumping for joy when he was thrown out on the bases? with no outs in the inning and the game-winning run standing at second base? Were you happy about that? Because if you were, then you got some issues.
Yeah.
So you can't come back after the fact and get upset at people for pointing out the fact that Mississippi State continues to do things to itself that are completely things that you can completely erase and you don't have to worry about if you just take care of your own business.
Yeah.
They don't do it. They have. That's my issue. This program should be so much better than it's shown the last 3 years than getting thrown out on the bases on boneheaded plays, booting balls, walking batters. In the game three, Brooks Auger's really running through their lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Walks two batters, loads the bases. Cole Cheatham comes in, walks in a run. You have an error. These are things that you control. And so I'm pumped that State got the sweep, but this is a 2-16 SEC team. Let's bring that back to reality here. This is a really bad baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
And State was lucky to sweep this series. They went and won it,
mm-hmm.
and they deserve credit for that. And mm-hmm. this is a great step forward. But for them to get back on track, for them to be the standard that they're setting out to be, and that Chris Simonis says they want to be, and the players come here to be, they have got to eliminate these silly mistakes, these things that if you're on this level of baseball in college, you shouldn't be having these things happen. So that's the only negative takeaway that I have here is State should be so much better than they are. 10-8 in the league is great when you consider the fact that last 2 years they were 9-26 or whatever their record was. 9-23.
Mm-hmm. They were 9-21 last year.
21 is wrong twice. That's fine.
There's 30 games. So if you have 9 wins, you could have 21.
There you go. I forgot how many games what.
Yeah.
So they were 9-21 the last 2 years. They've already beat that this year, but it could have been even better.
Yeah.
So, and I think Chris Simon has made a really good point post game is that, you know, the mindset of the team, he thinks on Sunday was, you know, we won the series. We're good. And he even said, you know, we're trying to make up games that we've given away. We're trying to sneak some games that we had lost previously and try to get some of those games back. We can't afford to take plays off and take games off. We've got to go out there and get every single SEC win that we can. So for this team to take that next step, I think that's the key for them is they have got to do the little things right. And they just don't do it enough. I thought that they were finally able to overcome that on Sunday because they haven't been able to overcome that. When they've made mistakes like that late in ball games, they've lost those games in SEC play. Mm-hmm. So that was a good thing to see. That was a good sign as they found a way to win those games.
Yeah. Game three, obviously the most exciting. And, you know, some unsung heroes in this game. First off, Logan Kohler.
Yep.
A guy who struggled, but he had a good weekend this weekend, and he had three RBI on on Sunday.
Three of the four runs scored,
yeah, including the game tying double. And then you have one of the biggest base running blunders I've ever seen at Duty Noble Field. State with a man on second.
We've seen two of them in the same year, by the way.
Yeah, the one with Hijack had the one. Kohler gets pinch run for it with Aaron Downs, and just a brain fart. There's just no other way to describe what's happening there. They try to get the bunt down. Downs goes before he sees the bunt is down. He's off the base. They throw down. They get him, and they kill the rally right there in a situation where the next batter, Ethan Pulliam, grounds out. It would have moved him to third, and Joe Powell comes up and should have been up with one out. He flies out to left. It would have scored the run. State wins the game without going into extras. It doesn't happen that way. You get some extra drama. Credit, I guess, to Downs. Maybe he likes a more exciting ending. I don't know. But that was a tough moment there because you have a guy on second with nobody out, and you're like, and all the momentum, all the pressure is on Auburn. They're going to fold.
Mm-hmm.
And you gave them that back. But I give credit to State because it's what you said. But a lot of times they make those mistakes, and then they just that's it. That's the end of the game. They didn't do that for two reasons. One, they had the ability to get those late hits. But two, Tyson Harden, who I got a text from our friend Brooks Roberts, and he said, he's like, Tyson Harden is Chad Jurado 2.0.
Yeah, I mentioned that in the press conference too.
Yeah, that's a guy that we can't say it in a press conference setting, but that guy was the white flag last year. When he came into the game, it was just like, we just got to get somebody to get through this game. We're not going to win. It's over. Chad Jurado was that.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, Chad Jurado became this unhittable reliever and was a big part of why State played for a national title in 2013. I'm certainly not going to tell you that this team's going to play for a national title, but Tyson Harden's turnaround has been fun to watch. He's 3-0 on the season. He got a win and a save on Sunday. He struck out 5 of the 6 batters he faced. Really, really good stuff from him.
I think this is your closer.
I think so. State's I think he's got to be, right?
State has been looking for that closer, and it's almost like the coaches, they've had faith in him, but they haven't had enough faith to put him out in those key moments. We've seen him closing out big leads. Like, they're not quite ready to put him in those moments. But today, he comes out there and bases loaded, I think it was, and a base hit. It's a tie game in that game, too. And he comes in there, pitches to contact, gets the fly out, ball game over. Comes in game 3 and was just flat dominant. Struck out 5 of the 6 batters that he faced. Nobody was able to touch him. And it's, you know, you see this all the time in baseball. You see a tweak here and there. And, mm-hmm. you know, somebody was arguing with me last year about how college pitching coaches don't develop players.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do anything to help a player. They're just there to lead them. And that was the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Because we saw it with Chad Jurado. We've seen it with my mind just went blank on the guy from 2019. Jared Liebelt. We saw it with him. He was just a tweak here and there, maybe with an arm slot or adding a different pitch.
Mm-hmm.
It changes a lot of trajectories mm-hmm. for players in their careers. And I think we've seen that with Tyson Harden. They've added a little bit of a sinker, a little bit of a cutter, and he's getting a lot of sink on the fastball. He's getting a lot of movement. It's not as flat as it used to be.
Right.
And that's been really difficult for hitters to pick up. I mean, it's been that way for most of the season. He has been a tough guy for players to hit. And last year, it was BP. I mean, you look at his numbers last year, it was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But this is literally Jared Liebelt, Chad Jurado, guys like that, that a pitching coach has kind of transformed into a secret weapon for you.
Mm-hmm.
And State's got to utilize it now because this guy faced 7 batters on Sunday, retired every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You've struggled to win these close games. I think this is a guy that he's got the mental makeup we've seen this year, and he's got the stuff that he can get some big outs for you late in ball games. And State has been in just about every single game this year in SEC play. They got blown out by Ole Miss, and they were pretty much shut down against Texas A&M in that third game.
Yeah.
Other than that,
they've been in the game.
The other 6 losses have been winnable for them.
I feel very confident in saying that if we could go back a weekend, Chris Lemonis would have pitched literally anybody else on Friday night
mm-hmm.
when State was up 8-0 in the 9th inning and let Tyson Harden go back out there on Saturday and get that 8th inning.
I think they're figuring out, I think what they've been doing with Tyson was building the confidence. Like, I think there was something to that. I don't think they just were completely mismanaging him or whatever. I think that Chris Lemonis is still trying to get his confidence level up because he was such a kind of a fractured guy for you last year. And I don't know how he handled that stuff mentally. I can't speak on that. But it did seem like it was, you know, it probably was going to take some time to get him there mentally.
Mm-hmm.
But Lemonis even mentioned after the game, you know, this is a guy that was two-way player in high school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's kind of just now getting into pitching full time. And you can see the stuff, and it's electric. He's got a fastball and going up to the high 90s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, it's got a lot of sink on it. It's like there's like some Kendall Graveman in there right now.
Some good compliments we're giving this kid. So we'll see how it goes. Interesting week for State. They go to Memphis on Tuesday to play the Tigers. They've already played them once this year. Memphis is 177 in the
RPI. Not a good team.
So here's the deal. Again, it's the same. It's not as bad as it was a week ago with Alcorn. But even in winning this game, State's RPI is going to drop a little bit. It's currently 45. I would expect them to be like 47.
This non-conference schedule can't happen again. Like, and I was one of those, like, at the beginning of the year, I was good with it for them to build confidence, but then they lost those games.
That's the thing. It's not that the schedule can't happen. It's that these losses can't happen. Yeah. You can't lose to Austin Peay, who's sub 200. You can't lose a midweek to Central Arkansas, who's sub 200. You can't blow a ninth inning lead to Air Force, who's, I think, sub 100. You just can't do that. And when you do, this is the situation you find yourself in.
And it's like we talked about with, you know, State when they lost to Southern in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to cost them something. It's going to cost
them. This one's going to cost a lot more.
It's going to cost them the NCAA tournament. It's going to cost them hosting. It's going to cost them where, you know, do they go to the West Coast for a regional? It's going to cost them
something.
It's
probably the difference between being a 2 seed close to home and a 3 seed way out west or something like that. So
yeah.
We'll see. And then, of course, the back on the road to Vanderbilt. It's just the same thing it's been every week on the road. Don't get swept. If you don't get swept at Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt's a team, they're playing well right now. They took two out of three last weekend.
I mean, it's
by who?
Texas A&M.
But A&M's not different.
But they got the same record as State.
They do, They took two out of three this weekend from Florida, who has totally fallen apart.
Those
are the games that haunt State.
Florida and Ole Miss series, is a killer.
Yeah.
I mean, not even that Georgia.
Just getting one game in each one more game in those series. Yeah. I mean, you'd be in just tremendous
shape. You just win the series and you're sitting there with 12 wins.
Right. State has two non-conference games left. One is the after the Memphis game. They have the Governor's Cup, obviously, and then they have a game against Northern Alabama, who is not a is that correct? Are they not even on the RPI? No, they are. Okay, they're 269.
Again, nice.
That is going. State really needs it to rain on May 14th.
Yeah.
Or they just need to pull what Ole Miss did.
If
State's sitting, let's say State has a good stretch here. Let's say they get. Let's just be optimistic. Let's say they get two at Vanderbilt, right? And they get two at home against Alabama. And then they go to Arkansas. They just get one. They don't get swept. They get one game there. RPI at that point might be back up around 38, 39 maybe. You can't play that game against North Alabama. You just got to tell them, sorry. You know, give them a check for $20,000. And just like, hey, sorry. Can't do it. Ole Miss did it, and it is the reason Ole Miss got into the NCAA tournament, and it is the reason they won a national title. Because they just decided
if they would have played that game, they wouldn't have got
their in. RPI would have taken a little hit, and it probably would have cost them. So, and then that Missouri series at the end of the year, can you get another sweep there? I don't know. That's the optimistic side. The other side of that, Robbie, is that as you said, they could go up to Vanderbilt this week and get swept.
Yep.
You know, they're capable of that. They're capable of losing a series at home to Alabama. Alabama's a pretty good team. Arkansas, they're very capable of going to Arkansas and getting swept and losing that game to Ole Miss in Jackson. So it's a very up-and-down team. This weekend was a good up for them, so they played well, and they got the sweep. First sweep since 2021 for the Bulldogs. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. Hopefully this weekend you enjoyed some delicious beef. I did. I went out to my buddy Lee Battle's tailgate, and he was doing surf and turf po' boys or something. I don't even know what the terminology was for it, but it was delicious. And I hope you guys were able to cook out this weekend. And this weekend coming up, looking ahead, State on the road, which means you're probably going to be at home. Fire up your grills, guys. They have been playing good baseball. You can enjoy cooking out and cooking a steak while you listen to the Diamond Dogs. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thank you to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. And that's another place. As I drove around town this weekend, I saw the line at Two Brothers, and I had some people tweeting at me, texting me, saying, hey, went to Two Brothers this weekend. It was fantastic. Love to hear that. Glad you guys are having a great experience at our sponsors. You know, if you pay to be on the show, I'll talk you up. But I like to do it from a place of I know that I'm telling people good stuff. And with Two Brothers, I have that luxury. I know that every time I tell somebody to go eat at Two Brothers, that they're going to get a fantastic meal and have a great experience. And that makes it very, very pleasurable to do business with the good folks at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products and great service is something every business likes to promise you. They deliver it at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 49 years. 49 years. That's a long time to stay in business doing anything, let alone in a business where you got to deal directly with customers. 49 years lets you know that you can trust Advantage Business Systems to do right by you, to deliver service after the sale. Doesn't even really matter what you sell sometimes if your customers know that, hey, whatever I buy from them, I can trust them that if it something breaks, if something goes wrong, they'll be there to help me out. And that's what you get with Advantage Business Systems. So if you need a new copier, a new printer, new computers, new laptops, anything, give them a call. 601-362-9192. Or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Hopefully you guys made it over to Maroon & Co. this weekend. I got to be honest. When I was walking around Duty Noble, walking around Davis Wade, I saw I'm starting to see the tide turn on these polos and pullovers. There's a lot of state script out there. I'm glad to see that. But we got to have a full reckoning here. We got to get it all out. And it starts with you making a trip to Maroon & Co. Anytime you're going to be in Starkville, you need to check out Maroon & Co. They have a huge selection of unique Mississippi State items that you cannot get literally anywhere else. The Bulldog Initiative stuff, I saw some of the new pullovers and shirts and stuff they've got. It's fantastic. That's what the coaches are wearing. That's what you should be wearing before you head to Duty Noble anytime this spring. Make sure you head to Maroon & Co. Speaking of Davis Wade Stadium, obviously, spring game. I want to give
I had no clue Bump was out there wearing a walking bully hat.
Yeah, he looked good, didn't he?
Swag.
There's swag with this staff. There's some swag. I'm saying swag too much.
Rope hats, old logos.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, Lebby coming in wearing that. He's still wearing that Bulldog rope hat. I thought, like,
he's got the
maroon. Is that what he's
going to
wear?
I hope so.
I mean, I'm loving that.
I want to see him wear a rope pad on the sidelines. I wanted the Kenny guy from Texas State just for that.
Yeah. So
I don't care if he wins or not. I just want him to look cool.
Yeah. Well, I want to say this. And you know, we're very quick to criticize sometimes here on this show. I want to give credit where it's due. I thought that the scoring system they came up with, which I was apprehensive about when I first saw it, it added a relevance to the spring game. It made it where every possession meant something. Every play had something riding on it. It looks a lot better to say that you're... Well, I don't even remember what the final score was.
It was like 60-something. But what it looks like...
But it just
like,
makes it look like it looks was fun.
Because imagine if, you know, all they did was score... They scored like, what, four touchdowns?
Right, it's like
imagine 20, if it was like 17-14.
Yeah, it's like 28-7 or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
People just are not going to get excited.
They're not interested in that. 67-53 looks fun. That might be a real score this fall, by the way. I don't know. What did I take away from this? I want to preface everything with it was just a practice. They've got a long way to go. Jeff Lebby himself said, "I like where we are right now, but we got a long way to go. We expect to look things differently in the fall."
Mm-hmm.
But the poise of the offense, they played in sync. They played with, like, they knew where their assignments. They knew where they were supposed to be. They were working together. I thought offensively they looked better in this one practice than they did in any game situation last season.
Yeah.
I thought that the receivers showed some big-time potential. Akari, Coleman, Craver, Burnside. All of those guys showed you that they have got something. They can play in the SEC, I thought. And then there's Blake Shapen. And I'm not trying to smash on, you know, beat up Will Rogers. I'm not. But to see a quarterback throw the ball down the field so effortlessly, it's been quite a while since we've been able to see that at Mississippi State.
And I don't know how many times we have seen it.
Yeah, I mean, the ball leaves his hand. It's accurate down the field. He can throw the ball accurately on the run. He looks like he's a complete quarterback. Again, nothing I watched on Saturday changes my predictions about this team at this time, right? Still probably a 6-win team.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw enough to make me think my early thoughts about the offense are going to be accurate, that they are going to be able to move the football. They've got talent on that side of the ball. They're continuing to try to add talent on that side of the ball. And in the end, they're going to put points on the board, and then defensively, it's just going to be about getting enough stops. You don't have to be dominant. You just have, if you can be a defense that gives up 31 a game, which isn't a very good number, but that should be a good enough number to win the six games that I'm thinking of.
I think moving forward, I'm just going to say I'm not going to really worry a whole lot about the defense. Like, I'm not just going to be like super concerned about them. It's going to be all on the offense. Like, this is just going to be the offense that's going to have to win them ball games, at least this year. I think State can get back to what they do defensively, but it's obvious that this staff is having trouble making headway with really good players on the defensive side of the ball, because it's not, you know, it's not a Jeff Lebby thing. Jeff Lebby is getting in the game with some big time dudes on the offensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And more on the way. And he's not afraid to go out there and add talent. I mean, do they really need Damian Martinez?
No.
But he makes you a heck of a lot better at running back, and offensively, if you get him, he's a stud, and that's why you go out there and try to upgrade your talent. I mean, that's what a good coach does. That's what Lane Kiffin's doing at Ole Miss. He doesn't need some of these guys he's getting, but that's what he's doing. And Jeff Lebby brings that same kind of mentality. If you're not trying to get better, then you're just going to stay the same, or you're going to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get better. You have to constantly be trying to move forward. And that's what he's doing. You know, the defense is just not happening right now. I don't know if they just don't trust, if players don't trust the defensive staff, or the staff isn't recruiting very well. I don't know. But it's obvious that Jeff Lebby and his staff on the offensive side are making some headway here, and you see why. You watch that game. That was the most exciting spring game I've watched at Mississippi State in at least a decade.
Easily.
And, it's one of the most fun ever, because they're just dropping dimes down the field. I thought they ran the ball pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I didn't have like any takeaways from the defense. I just don't care right now.
Yeah.
I want to see the offense be exciting for once.
The defense got out there the first 3-4 series and did a good job. Made some plays. And look, here's the thing, and this is sort of what have I said about Ole Miss these past like 3-4 years, right? They get out early.
Uh-huh.
They put you down 14-0, and then they make you play catch up the rest of the game.
And people probably get tired of us mentioning Ole Miss, but this is the comparison.
It's relevant.
This is the comparison. This is a guy that plays a similar style offense to Lane Kiffin. They both are very similar in some of the things that they do.
Yeah.
This is what you're also rival. This is the team you're chasing.
Well, it's just relevant because Ole Miss, he took over with Kiffin at a time when Ole Miss was down, and he turned that offense around completely in one season.
Yeah.
With the players he had on hand. He didn't even have a transfer portal.
Yeah, they didn't even have a really impressive offense, like from a personnel standpoint.
No.
Matt Corral. Jerrion Ealy was okay.
Okay. Connor.
And Elijah Moore.
Yeah.
Elijah Moore was the offense. Matt Corral and Elijah Moore was the offense pretty much.
Elijah Moore the year before had been, what, like their fourth option?
He wasn't great. He was okay.
Yeah.
I mean, and then he became an All-American
wide receiver
in that offense.
So.
I'm looking at that offense yesterday, and I'm looking out there, and Kelly Akari's a stud.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Coleman's making plays. Mario Craver's making plays. You saw some plays from Stonka Birdside. It just, for however it's happening, this offense is effective everywhere. Everybody that runs it, like this, I guess, mm-hmm. Jeff Lebby, Josh Heupel,
Lane Kiffin,
yeah. And there's a little different intricacies between all of them, but at the core of it, this is the Art Briles,
the Veer and Shoot,
Jeff Lebby's offense, and it has worked everywhere it's been, and my prediction is going to work here. I know State's got to play games, but when I look out there and I physically see Blake Shapen dropping 50-yard dimes, standing basically flat-footed and looking effortlessly doing it,
mm-hmm.
I know he has the ability to do it.
Right.
And I know these players have the ability to get separation out there and catch the ball. That was really fun to see.
So I was saying that that's the Ole Miss way has been get out 14-0 and then play catch up. You know, your defense gets a couple of early stops, or maybe they force an early turnover. If State can be like that, if they can be a team that gets out 14-0, I mean, it's tough to come back.
Yeah.
It's tough to come back, especially with an offense like State that's going to put pressure on you to score every time down the field. So we'll see if they can, you know, it's just practice. I'm not going to come on here and tell you that I saw something that makes me think this team's going to win 8-9 games. They have a long way to go. They need to continue to add some players. They really need to get some guys in on the defense. And it looks like the early returns on that are much like they were in the winter, that it's going to be tough to get guys in. You know, we told you, I think, last week that they were going to host USC linebacker Romello Height. Nope, he made it to Georgia Tech and didn't leave.
Yeah,
he's committed to them now. So we're kind of off that same thing.
It's insane. It really is insane. Like, they're getting these really good offensive players to campus.
And they can't get anybody.
They can't
get them to visit.
They can't even get these guys to visit. So, and they're having to take.
They got a defensive commitment. Tomorrow's show we're going to be recruiting. We will give it the respect it deserves. We got basketball, women's and men's basketball. We got some football stuff to talk about. Let's talk recruiting tomorrow. But for today, I think that I feel pretty good that State's going to be good enough offensively to win, to go to a bowl game, to maybe sneak up on a team and get that seventh win and go from there. And then you take off maybe in year two with, you know, a second year of everybody running things. Other thing I want to point out, we've talked a lot about Shapen. It is weird that we didn't talk to Shapen, by the way, but that's for another day.
Yeah, we didn't talk to him the whole spring.
Didn't talk to a single quarterback the whole spring.
I guess it's a Lebby thing.
It might be, and that's fine. But I thought Chris Parson looked really good, too. And I feel like he's been the forgotten man, right? Like, we've talked about Shapen a lot, and then there's Van Buren, the four-star kid, and he comes in. That's got to be Lebby's guy. And then you just got Parson still there, still plugging away. Looked good, moved around in the pocket well, and then he showed off the deep ball as well and had a great throw for a touchdown too. Mario Craver, if I were going to make like one spring game overreaction, it's that I think Mario Craver can be a star. He has the speed.
And Kevin Coleman.
Well, I don't even know that's an overreaction because that guy's got production. This is a freshman.
Like, I think we still kind of overlooked him. Like, we've talked about Kelly Akari a lot, and we talked about him. We talked about Kevin Coleman. You know, he would be productive there, but was mostly going to be like a special teams guy that you thought could break it, but we thought he could be good. But I think he can be really good, and I was impressed with Kelly Akari too.
Akari is a real deal guy. That's a guy. I mean, his numbers let me know that he can play from last year.
Made some really good catches.
But Craver is a true freshman. He's going to be making an impact. I feel pretty confident in that.
Here's one thing that I took away that I thought was the biggest takeaway is there just weren't very many bad decisions by these quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Like, they all...
Ball got out quick.
They all made the right decisions.
Yeah.
They didn't... Was there an interception?
There was not an interception in the game.
And it's not like they were throwing...
The only turnover was the fumble where Kevin Coleman's walking into the end zone and he gets stripped.
But it's not like they were forcing it in and the players weren't making plays.
Right.
They were scanning the field. Yeah. And it's like, how has Mississippi State not been able to do this the last few years?
I think we know the answer.
I don't even think it's just Will Rogers. Like, I think.
Well, I mean, it's just a different offense. What Mike Leach wanted to do.
But you remember, it was always like, it's going to take 3 years for Mike Leach. This in 2 months, this offense looks infinitely better than the air raid.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get into that.
Well, the air raid. This offense is kind of what the air. Remember when the air raid first came out? Like, nobody could stop it. Like,
right.
How do we stop this?
It's like the new air raid.
You start. This is like 2.0. The veer and shoot is like the 2.0 of the air raid.
But this is what you do. This is how. You got to be able to see the changes in college football, and when defenses figure out just how to stop something, you change it.
You know who did that a lot? Nick Saban. That's how you win games.
Yeah.
What do I always say?
Or he hired coaches.
What do I always say? Coaches would rather lose their way than win somebody else's. Winners will win, will change.
Well, the game-changing thing for Saban was when he hired Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
Because it was not his style.
No,
it was not his guy. Him and Lane Kiffin were oil and water, but he knew he had to make a deal with the devil to continue to compete for championships.
Yeah.
He couldn't just come out there and run the ace formation and I formation and run power against everybody. He had to innovate his offense, and that's what he did with Lane Kiffin, and then he followed that up with Steve Sarkisian.
Mm-hmm.
And they never really got it back after that. I mean, they were okay. They were good because they were better than everybody else,
mm-hmm.
but Bill O'Brien didn't really do it for you. I mean, he got modern offenses,
mm-hmm.
guys that change with the times, that mm-hmm. when people figure them out, they are a step ahead of them.
Yeah, you know, people forget what was the offensive coordinator at Alabama because he was only there for a year. It's Brian Daboll, who's now the head coach of the Giants.
That's true.
So, I mean, yeah, he made the right decisions. That's true. We'll see if Mississippi State has. It seems like they're on the right path. All right, tomorrow's show, recruiting. We'll talk a lot of recruiting, a little more football. Our spring preview, we did not get Texas A&M on Friday. A&M playing that baseball game. They move their games up. Alabama moved the games up with weather.
Uh-huh.
Our guy was covering the game, so he's like, I can't do it. So
who do you have?
Travis Brown from the Bryan College Station Eagle.
Gotcha.
So he'll join us. He'll be on the podcast feed later today. Or I'll just save it for Tuesday. But it'll be on there as well, along with our talk about recruiting. And then, Robbie, I believe, if I'm correct, we are 2 weeks away from starting our SEC previews. So we 2 weeks from that, and that means we would be 4 weeks because it's 16 teams now, but 15, I guess. It'll be 4 weeks till we do our first opponent preview. So we are
can't wait, man.
We are getting there. We are getting there.
Plenty I cannot wait about. For summer to get here. By the way, like I just need a little bit of a
it's a little bit of a lull.
This has been the busiest time of my life. Like it really has.
Well,
like it's been
switching jobs is part of that.
It is because we had, and you know, I knew it at the time that we were in a really good situation
mm-hmm.
at where we were. Because we had so many people. Like, I'd never been in a place where we had so many people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd gotten used to, like, taking a lot of the load off, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you just write one thing, you're done. This move, which it's going fabulous, by the way. We're having, I mean...
What's that code? Are we still doing it?
Yeah, I guess we could. Was this... Well, what did I say it was last week?
Something one.
State one. Yep. 2 months off. I mean, the numbers have been skyrocketing. Our board is insane. The page views are nuts this past month, and it's thanks to State fans. You're coming to the right place, but it's absolutely wearing me out. Baseball and basketball crossover, whether it be covering games in football,
mm-hmm.
whether it be covering games, interviews, recruiting, like Paul and I are just burning the candle at both ends.
Yeah.
But I just need a little bit of a
we'll get there.
Step back.
We got about a month and a half if we're doing good.
Yeah.
You know, so let's try to get to mid June. Let's try to get to the regionals, and then anything that happens after the regionals is just gravy. You know, we'll worry about that. I think you're willing to continue
like a
catfish
working. Tour.
Well, we've got that. Yeah, that we'll talk more about that soon. Hopefully. All right. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For
almost 130 new members in the last.
Awesome.
Couple weeks.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was when I promoted it on this show.
It was that new
people didn't know about that network. New On3, and I was telling them about it, and then we started to work there. I don't know
that's
what
right.
That's about. Guys, have a great Monday. Back with you on Tuesday for Robbie Falk. I'm Brian Adad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Mississippi Media Production.